It's certainly good to see each of you here tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach God's word. I hope that you paid attention to our prayer as we prayed this evening. As Brother Sewell led us, we talked about some mighty important concepts. One that especially caught my attention was the part of the prayer where we thank God that we have an opportunity to be together to worship Him. I think sometimes we may take that opportunity and that privilege for granted. And I hope that you'll at least just take a second and just think about what a wonderful opportunity it is to come together with God's people and to be able to worship Him. I hope also that you paid attention to the reading from Ephesians 6. That's a very familiar passage, and I want you to keep it in the back of your mind as we study together this evening. I'm sure that many of you, even you younger boys and girls, can sort of picture in the mind the picture of the soldier that you've seen on the bulletin board in your classroom or somewhere, with the different parts of the armor identified as mentioned there in Ephesians 6. That's a wonderful passage that tells us how to be ready to be a good soldier in the Lord's army. And the purpose that we have in that army of standing with Christ and being ready to stand against the fiery darts and the wiles of the devil. And I also want you to keep in the back of your mind sort of an outline of the lesson that we studied this morning. Because we've, in a sense, are using a theme that runs throughout all of our services today, a theme that deals with being in the Lord's army. That's a song that we sing at Vacation Bible School, "I'm in the Lord's Army." And I appreciated the fact this morning at the second service, at least, we closed the service with that song, "I'm a hard-fighting soldier on the battlefield." And I'm appreciative of the way all of our song leaders today have chosen songs that emphasize that idea of being in the Lord's army and being ready to fight for Him. Tonight, as you have in the back of your mind sort of a picture of the Christian soldier, and as you keep in mind the description that we gave this morning of how we need to be on the Lord's side, we need to be dedicated and ready, we need to be in active duty, ready to defend the cause and ready to contend for the cause. Let's go back to the Old Testament and look at some times that battles took place. I am convinced that some of our greatest lessons come when we go back to the scriptures of the Old Testament. It is true that we are not under it as a law today, and yet the principles of that time have not changed, and that which God saw fit to record in the Old Testament is certainly there for our learning and for our help and for our guidance. And I think there are some points that can be seen in these battles that we observe this evening from Old Testament times that can help us to be better soldiers in the Lord's army. The first one is in Genesis 14. This is an occasion where in the earlier part of the chapter it describes several of the kings who banded together and came against the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, the place where Lot lived. The battle is described to the extent that the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. And along about verse 11 it says, "They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." Now, I read that to set the stage for the next few verses, a battle that I want us to see, notice some of the points that are made, and make application to our being in the Lord's army today. Beginning in verse 14, "When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus." A little later, after he had come back from the battle and was in the discussion with the king of Sodom relative to what he had brought back, in verse 22, "Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." Now, here is an occasion where Abram, usually Abraham as he is called later and we refer to him, went out to battle. He went out to bring back Lot and Lot's possessions. Lot had been captured. His possessions had been taken. And so Abraham went out to bring them back. Notice four things that are said in this passage. Notice that he used trained servants. He didn't just take anybody with him, but he used those that were trained. They knew what to do and how to do it. They had been trained, according to this passage, in his own house. He knew that they knew what to do and how to do it. He took with him those who were trained. In the second place, notice that he armed the trained servants. He did not send them out there without any weapons, without anything to use as they would fight the battle. He armed his trained servants. Number three, he used good strategy. Verse 15, he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night and smote them. Instead of all just staying together and maybe coming in from one angle, he used a military strategy. Determined what was the best approach to accomplish the purpose on this occasion. He organized his men and used them in the right way, and he was able to win the battle. And when he had won the battle, he gave credit to God. I believe there are four mighty important points in that battle that can be applied in our spiritual battle as we fight in the Lord's army. Number one, there is the need for training. If we're going out to fight the battle, we need to know what we're doing and how to do it. Now, I don't mean by that we wait for years and years to do anything. But I mean, as soon as we enlist in the Lord's army and become a part of His group, that we begin to learn God's Word, to learn those parts that are important, building on what we already know at the point we enlist in His army, and we equip ourselves with what is needed to go out and win the battle. And I think probably one of the best verses in the Bible to give us that which we need as equipment is Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Truth and love. If we will equip ourselves and train ourselves to where we have at least a basic understanding of the truth of God's Word, and we develop within our hearts a love, especially a love for the souls of men, that's the best kind of training that we can have. There may be opportunities for us to train in methods, and certainly we are thankful for those opportunities. But we need to train ourselves, and then we need to be armed. We need to be armed, especially with the sword of the Spirit. You would not go out as a soldier without the right kind of weapon. You would not go out as a soldier in the Lord's army without the right kind of weapon. Many times when I leave my Bible lying here on the stand or the table or something after the service, I'll make the comment that I need to go get my sword and take it with me. If you have God's Word with you, you don't have to be afraid. Even if you don't know how to quote the passages in it, if you just know how to turn and find what you need to answer the questions that are raised and to deal with the problems that exist and to let people know that you care enough, even if you don't know the answer, that you'll hunt with that person to find the answer, you take your sword of the Spirit with you. You must be armed. Trained and armed. And then there was the organization of his men. He divided them into how many groups, I don't know, but whatever seemed to be the appropriate need in that particular situation. He divided them so that each one was at his proper place, and they all came together against the enemy and they won the battle. That's why we need the right kind of organization in the church, with good leaders and good followers, with people who are working on the left and in the middle and on the right. You may remember that even as they came back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the walls that had fallen down, that there were those who stood at each place. And there's a rather lengthy description given of the people who were standing in each section of the wall. Each one was doing his part. They were divided around, you see, doing the work that needed to be done. And then there is, in this last verse that we read, giving the credit to God and realizing who is the head of the army in which we march. They were trained, they were armed, they were organized, and they knew who was the head of the army. Let's go to a second place tonight in Exodus, the 17th chapter. Here is an occasion where, according to verse 8 of Exodus 17, Amalek came and fought with Israel. Verse 9, Exodus 17. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us our out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And then on over at verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And the importance of that verse is explained in the verse just before. As long as Moses held up his hand, Joshua and his people were winning the battle, but when the hands of Moses came down, they began to lose the battle. This is an unusual battle. It's one that we usually remember especially for Aaron and Hur. But Moses said to Joshua, you get our men together and you go out and you fight against Amalek. And one point I want you to especially see in this passage tonight is the purpose for the battle, the cause that they had. And I believe that is extremely important. Notice that Amalek came to fight against Israel. That's fighting against God's people. And notice that when Moses stood up, he stood up with the rod of God in his hand. They were fighting for the cause of God. They were fighting for the children of Israel. They had the right purpose in mind. They had the right cause in mind. It is extremely difficult to win a war, to even win a battle, if those who are fighting do not believe in the cause. There are those who would say that that's one of the problems with the Vietnam War, and maybe with others that could be mentioned. There were many who did not see a real cause, and some who did not want to even be involved in that because they could not see a purpose. In order to be successful in anything, especially in that which involves a battle, one must believe in the cause for which he is fighting. And folks, the cause that is before us tonight in the Lord's army is saving the souls of those that are lost. And I've heard many of our older preachers say from time to time, and I don't remember exactly which one, say that there are two reasons that we are not converting the world today. One is we're not convinced that people are lost without Christ. And number two, we're not convinced that we can be lost if we don't take the gospel to them. There is a tremendous amount of truth in that statement. And it's basically saying the same thing that I just presented to you a moment ago. We have to believe in the cause. If we really are sold on what we're doing, we believe in the cause and in the product that we are taking to do something about that cause, we're going to be much better at the task and meeting the task. And then I want you to notice, especially on this occasion where Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses, how there was support in all areas and at all ranks in this army. Moses was, in a sense, at the head of the command, but he gave the command to Joshua. Joshua was in charge of those men that were out there fighting the battle, but where was Moses? Here he was up on top of the hill supporting those that were working under him and holding up the rod of God and holding up his hands to let them know, I'm here behind you. Moses may not have been physically able at that time to have fought in the battle as did Joshua. But I want you to notice that he didn't stay at home. He didn't say, I've fought all my battles and I can quit now. Even though he was above Joshua in rank and certainly older than Joshua, there was Moses in his place saying, I'm right here behind you. And then look at Aaron and Hur. When Moses could not hold his own hands up because they were so tired, here's two others there to hold his hands up. And with Moses, the great leader, and Joshua, the great leader of the army on this occasion, both in their proper places, and then these other two, whatever their rank was, holding up the hands and giving the moral support that was needed, they won the battle. Now, don't you think that's a pretty good pattern for the work of the church today? There are some of you here tonight who are advanced in years, and sometimes you begin to think that you're not important. You may not be able to get out there on the battlefield in the battle itself as you used to. It may be that you just need to sit on the hill and hold up the rod of God and support those that are able to fight. And those who are leaders, maybe some that are a bit older, who sometimes have a little difficulty finding the energy to do what they need, we need those, even our younger people, with the energy that they have to hold up the hands and give the support. I submit to you that this is an excellent example of how to win the battle for the Lord. The third place to which we go tonight is over in Numbers, chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. And I need to remind you that back in the 13th chapter is where the 12 spies had gone over into the land of Canaan, had seen the giants, and had brought back the fruit that showed that it was the land of milk and honey. And in the setting where 10 of them said, we can't do it, and 2 said, we can, here's what Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, said in verse 6. Mentions them which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, what caused Joshua and Caleb to have the attitude that they had on this occasion? It was courage. Courage that was produced because they believed that God was on their side. They believed the promise that God had already given to them. I'm going to give you this land. You're going to go in and you're going to take it. They believed that he meant what he said. And they said, the people over there that you're calling giants, they are as bread to us. Their defense is departed. That's the kind of courage and lack of fear that we need in the Lord's army today. It is easy sometimes to make excuses and say, well, I'm afraid I just can't do what I need to do. I'm afraid that I can't win. And I know it is a trite expression, but it is a true expression. God and one man make a majority. And we need in the work of the church today to have the attitude that Joshua and Caleb had and say, let people over there, their defense is departed because we've got God on our side. You don't have to fear. There is one kind of fear that we need that brings about the courage that we have because we respect God. But there is another kind of fear that we have too many times, and that's being afraid of the devil and his defenses, to where sometimes we retreat instead of getting out there on the front line and believe that with God's help we can accomplish what we need to accomplish. I want us to look at one other battle tonight, and this one is mentioned in Numbers chapter 32. This is at a later time. The children of Israel have wandered in the wilderness. They have come up on the eastern shore of the Jordan River. As they are there for a period of time preparing to go over, we find that some of the people of Reuben and Gad decide that they're going to live over on that side. And as we see the situation in verse 6 of Numbers 32, Moses said to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? He said, are you going to just sit down here and do nothing and expect your brethren to accomplish the cause that needs to be accomplished? In verse 16, they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready, armed for the children of Israel, until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. Verse 20, Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, And will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. As I read that story, two things stand out. One is unity of all the people. And the unity that Moses emphasized. He said, Reuben and Gad, it's not right for you to sit down over here where there is peace and enjoy all the blessings that you want here and let your brethren go over there and fight the battle. You need to go with them. All of God's children of Israel need to go over for the battle. And they said, we're ready, we'll do it. How many times have some of us wanted to sit down where we are and enjoy the blessings that we have and let somebody else go out and fight the battle? They had unity. And when all of them put themselves together and went out to fight this battle in unity, they were able to help one another and support one another and accomplish the end result of winning the battle. They had the unity, and they were able to accomplish that which God had told them that they could accomplish. Folks, we've been talking about physical battles tonight. Every one of these was a physical battle, but it was a physical battle for the cause of God. And I think if we will look at these four battles, that we will see some of the great principles that can help us to come over and put on that gospel armor that Chris read about a few minutes ago from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And be able to take our stand for the cause of Christ, to defend his cause, and to go out there to promote his cause and to win the world for Jesus Christ. We are the Lord's army. And if we don't do the fighting, it's not going to get done. But if we will all join together, believe in our cause, give credit to God, arm ourselves, train ourselves, work together, and get out there on the battlefield, and let people know whose side we're on and that we're ready to stand for Christ and to fight for him and his army as long as this world stands, I think probably we can win some battles that we maybe never thought possible. But remember, you must enlist in the army. And be sure that you never go AWOL. You must become a Christian and never quit in the army of God and of Christ. If you're not enlisted in the Lord's army tonight, he has sent out the call and said, come, become a part of my army. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized, let him add you to his church, to his army. And if you've done that and you've sort of gone astray and you haven't been at your post of duty, then turn it around and get back in the army, back in the Lord's army, and ready to fight for him. If you need to enlist, if you need to return, come as together we stand and sing.